This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Tina Camellia and Sumitra Selvaraj in the studio. Here are our stories today.
British MP Jacob Rees-Mogg began his new role as the leader of UK's House of Commons by issuing a style guide to his staff. We'll hopefully ascertain if the style guide is a disappointment and find out whether all workplaces should have one.
A Malaysian company that is about to launch a line of designer clothing issued an advertisement asking for female models of a very specific race and very specific ethnicities. So we're asking you on Twitter, should race be mentioned on hiring advertisements? Your options are yes or no. And you can take our BFM poll at BFM Radio on Twitter, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
But before we get to our first story, here's Niles Barkley with Crazy.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Niles Barkley with Crazy. And now our first story.
News from the UK. Conservative MP Jacob Rees-Mogg was appointed the leader of the House of Commons under Prime Minister Boris Johnson's new cabinet. And so the BBC asked over the weekend, how do you make an impression in a new role? Well, for Rees-Mogg, he issued a style guide to his new staff. The rules are not new. Apparently, he's had them since he was an MP, but this is the first time he's in a government cabinet and the rules came with him to his new office.
I was a bit relieved to hear that the style guide was in clothing, and then I read on and that it got worse, because it's a list of banned words such as very, due to, ongoing, hopefully, unacceptable, equal, too many eyes, yourself, lot, got, speculate, invest, as in invest in schools, mm-hmm. No longer fit for purpose, I am pleased to learn, meet with, ascertain, disappointment, I note, understand your concerns. I'm fairly
Actually,
sure.
I'm not a fan of I note, understand.
Yeah, no, I think I just wrote an email this morning with all these words and phrases.
Was it to Jacob Mogg-Rees?
There are also several rules, including organizations are singular, all non-titled males are referred to as Esquire. There is no period after Miss or Ms. MPs. There's no need to write MP after their name in the body of the text. Male MPs who are non-privy councillors in the address should have Esquire before MP. Double space after full stops. We're coming back to this one. No comma after and you have to check your work and use imperial measurements, of course.
So to provide us with some insight into this story, we have with us today Esquire Cam Ruslan, who you'll also recognise as host of A Bit of Culture and a writer himself. Thank you for joining us, Cam.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, which of these rules, if any, do you agree with or disagree with? I mean, as a writer, do you somewhat feel sympathetic with some of these issuances?
Well, first of all, I feel no sympathy whatsoever for Jacob Rees-Mogg. The man's an utter moron. So I think that needs to be put out there.
Yeah.
And that what he is doing is not necessarily a style guide for efficiency to help people understand their way through, you know, how I'm writing this, what should I say? Do I put it for a full stop after miss? I mean, what kind of idiot does that anyway? But what he's actually trying to say is, he wants everyone to know that he's a reactionary, he's a right-wing reactionary, and so he's just advertising this idiocy. But having said that, I think that I would imagine that most of the people working, I would hope that most of the people working in the British government at a certain level already have a pretty good knowledge of grammar and syntax and the like, and they probably don't need lecturing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's the thing that bothered me about this article, about the article that came out about his statements, which is there's such a top down, heavy handed tone to it
that describes the man.
Yeah. Well,
and also it describes the man that the first thing that he should do upon entering government is a style guide,
mm-hmm. because and not a clothing style.
Not a clothing style. I mean, he is style over substance.
Right.
And I don't know who leaked this. I mean, this is kind of odd that this information should come out. He may have wanted to tell the world that he is so pedantic, or somebody wanted to show that Jacob Rees-Mogg is this pedantic.
I feel like he might be quite proud to have this.
I would imagine he is.
But the style guide reminds me a bit of George Orwell's essay, Politics in the English Language, in which he criticized the inaccurate and ugly use of the English language. The difference being, I didn't sense any snobbery in Orwell's essay.
I should hope not.
And perhaps it was the Esquire rule that got me.
Well, the Esquire. So he was saying male MPs be called Esquire.
Yeah.
Female MPs, what? What are they?
Yeah.
What are they? They're just an aberration as far as he's concerned.
Right.
George Orwell would be like turning in his grave. He would be, you mentioned him in the same breath as Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Sorry, I offended you.
but also Orwell said in his one of his essays on writing English that language should be like a pane of glass. The written word, you shouldn't see it. You should see straight through it to the substance of what you're saying. What Rees-Mogg is doing here is putting this road bump right in front of you.
Right.
So you are just, if you're going to read any words that are coming out of him, you must accept his pedantry as a way into his world. Mm-hmm. He's imposing himself on you.
But he's not just imposing his views on his staff members. He's been critical of the imprecise use of words in the House of Commons. He called it Humpty Dumpty-ish, which in itself sounds a little imprecise to me.
Humpty Dumpty-ish, doesn't it?
isn't that the way languages naturally evolve?
Well, absolutely. And it has been noted, actually, that his own grammar is very poor.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I read a thing, I can't remember it offhand now, but people were going through his use of language, and it's really poor. Just because he went to Eton, I think he went to Eton, you know, it doesn't mean that you are naturally able to speak any better than anyone else.
I think that's quite telling of that way of thinking, where it's not whether he's held up to that standard, it's that he's decided he's going to impose this on people, and people just have to follow along.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think the style guide, I was actually, we mentioned Esquire, I was actually the editor of Esquire magazine for a while. and we had a style guide, but we had to, because we dealt with a lot of words.
Mm.
So we needed to know a consistency. Mm-hmm. Plus, we also had to be in keeping with the Esquire heritage, which came from the US. So we had to know what to do. And it makes life easier when you know that. I mean, I actually kind of agree that organizations should be singular.
Mm-hmm.
I think, say, Manchester United is, as opposed to the are.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's helpful. But, oh, no, I mean, we were in a magazine, so we needed a style guide.
Exactly. So you would understand a style guide in a media organization, in the publishing industry. Is there really a necessity for a style guide in any other industry that you could think of?
No. And also, he wants to take people back to the imperial system of pounds, miles and shillings and pence.
Yes.
When he's actually younger than me. He's actually younger than me, okay? And I did grow up in England. I left there about 30 years ago. I haven't really kept an eye on English politics. But in all of my education, we were on the metric system.
Mm.
So he's trying to force people to return to a system that was actually gotten rid of. You can't say gotten, by the way. gotten rid of 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So what else? He also wants to bring back putting people in a pillory and throwing rotten vegetables at them.
Well, he's also said in previous articles that he's a believer in the idea of, you know, children being raised by the women, for instance. So it is very indicative of a particular worldview. I don't feel like this has much to do with language, style, or grammar, or anything at all.
Should we write to him and say, I note your concern?
And comma.
Yeah. But actually, I'd never really mixed with people of his class when I was living there. But I did once, and there was a girl. And so in her household, she was very posh. You were not allowed to say certain words. You couldn't say toilet. You had to say lavatory. You couldn't say serviette.
Mm-hmm.
You had to say napkin, because these were French words.
Right.
And there are a few others, and which I can't remember now. And I just thought, oh, for God's sakes. what are you?
I mean, language evolves, doesn't it?
It does. And
it can be quite an elitist or snobbish way. And I do think with this whole grammar Nazi, quote-unquote, movement online, that it does happen more than we realize when people call each other out on language. Or Sumitra, you and I were talking about this earlier, how in their arguments people criticize people's language use rather than the point that they're trying to make.
Completely unnecessary. Yeah. But I don't know about this whole idea that language is evolving to become more posh. I mean, just look at the new additions into the Oxford Dictionary every year. I mean, we've got selfie, you've got emoji. I mean, it's...
Isn't irregardless accepted as a word?
It's actually not a word. Because you could just say the word regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently now,
because of
common parlance, we're all sounding so snobby.
All right.
Thanks, Shavala. Yeah.
Because of the way people have increasingly started using irregardless and regardless interchangeably, it's become acceptable to use it. I don't know whether officially in official circles, but most people think that it's acceptable.
Well, irregardless of that, I would say I grew up there in England and I've been away for 30 years and I have noted that the language in England has actually changed in that time. Mm. Accents very much have changed. So Jacob Rees-Mogg's accent, which is this faux, it's a ridiculous kind of posh, or plummy kind
received
of accent.
Received pronunciation and all of that, yeah.
But you go back just, two prime ministers before? David Cameron, who is equally posh, had actually changed his accent to become more not posh.
To be like one of the people.
To be like one of the people.
Obama did that as well in America. Right.
Yeah.
But isn't the question of accents and going back to style, why does it matter what you sound like rather than what you're saying?
Yeah, he says with his English accent on the Nation Radio.
It's actually the irony that we've had you to comment on the subject.
Yeah, doesn't matter what you sound like.
I like this. I like the idea that the word "got" is in his sights, because the BBC article that the story references quoted Lynn Murphy, a professor of linguistics at the University of Sussex, who compared the attempt to ban the word "got" with trying to ban sneezing.
Well, yeah. I was at school, actually, my English teacher would tell us you cannot use the word "got." He actually said, "Don't use got." Well, not so much. Don't use it, but please don't use it so much. Mm. But also, don't when you're writing use the word "nice."
Oh, yeah, that's actually a common writing rule in even creative writing classes. Yeah. Because
is it too vague?
It's too vague. It's kind of a vanilla word that doesn't really say anything. So something can be exciting or delicious, but just saying something is nice feels very bland.
But it might get you out of trouble if you're trying to fudge the truth. Exactly. Is this nice, darling? Yes, it's very nice.
Absolutely, it's very. Yeah, I'm very.
What do you think of my new style guide? It's very nice.
It's very nice.
Yeah. There's a time and place for everything.
Yeah.
It's always usable.
Well, we do need to move on from this very interesting conversation about words. Mm. Thank you, Cam, for joining us.
Thank you.
We will be back after a short break, but we are going to leave you with the Bee Gees singing Words on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.